Tonight, you know, I'm going to start talking about fear, but in particular the fear of man. And to me, the fear of man is such a big fear a lot of people have. You know, we have fear of this and that, but a lot of times it's one of the major fears people deal with. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. It says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." And as I was looking at this verse, I was like, you know, what does it mean, a snare? And when I looked up the word snare in the dictionary, it means a trap that involves a trickery, or it means to entangle, or it's something that holds you back. And in this particular case, when we're talking about the fear of man, it's a trap of the enemy that's there to hold you back, to entangle you. And so we're going to talk about that tonight, you know. You know, when you're fearful of man, it causes you to compromise. It causes you to lie, to do things contrary to what the Word of God is saying. And to demonstrate that, let's go to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. And this is the story of Abraham and Sarah going to King Abimelech. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 1. And it says, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. And it says, "And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, 'She is my sister.' And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Indeed, you are a dead man, because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife.' But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, 'Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, "She is my sister"? And she even herself said, "He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this." And God said to him in a dream, 'Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. For if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, and you and all who are yours.'" And then we scroll down to verse 9. And it says, "And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, 'What have you done to us? Have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Did you have done deeds to me that ought not to be done?' Then Abimelech said to Abraham, 'What did you have in view that you done this thing?' And Abraham said, 'Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, that they will kill me on the account of my wife.'" So we see here pretty much that Abraham was pretty much thinking about himself, surely, because he was thinking, "Oh gosh, my wife is so beautiful, you know, and surely when they see her, they will, you know, they'll kill me and take her for himself." But here it is, this is Abraham, and I don't want to run ahead of myself, but this is after God had took him out of his country, and he had seen the goodness of God. He had seen God was with him. You know, and if he had reflected on that and say, "You know what, God is with us. He's been with us so far. You know, I don't have to worry about anything." You know, but in this case, he was terrified. He was in a situation where he was, he was self-centered. Let's put it this way. Very thinking about himself, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to die. What's going to happen to me?" And cause him to compromise and lie. And a lot of times that's what happens when we're in a situation when we think we're going to be hurt, or you know, something is going to happen to us, so we make compromises. We lie. We lower our standards. And we do things contrary to the Word of God. And we make assumptions. Look at this. He made an assumption that the fear of God was not in the house of Abimelech. But here it is. We see God came to Abimelech in a dream and showed him, you know, these things. You know, that this woman is she's married. She's another man's wife. Praise God for the integrity of Abimelech. You know, he didn't go near her. And a lot of times when we walk in fear, we make assumptions that are not true. We make wrong decisions when we walk in fear, and in fear of man in this particular case. I know, and it's interesting, you know, but we see that the same thing happened to Isaac and Rebekah. And if you go into Genesis chapter 26 and verse 7, I think it's like, wow, it's a disease that runs in the family. But Genesis chapter 26 and verse 7, it says, well, it says that he came to Abimelech again. Now, when we see this in the word, it's not the same Abimelech. Abimelech is like a title. Okay, like, you know, emperor so-and-so. In this case, it would be Abimelech so-and-so, but it didn't give the name. You know, so it would seem like, wow, second time around, you know, they're facing Abimelech. But this is not so. In verse 6, let's go up to verse 6. It says, so Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked about his wife. And he said, she is my sister, for he was afraid to say she is my wife. He says he's doing the same thing like his dad. He said, because lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold. So you see here, same way like his father, he was looking out for himself. He was scared. He was scared of and fearful of the men, you know. But, and we see that what happened, that's what happens when we are so scared and we're so worried about ourselves and we're not putting our trust in God. We do things and we're like, that compromise our integrity. That compromise our standard and go against God and His Word and what God's Word is saying. So we see that when we have a fear of man, it compromises our standards. We lie, we do things, and we wonder, and we say, why did we do such and such? Why did we make such a wrong decision? And a lot of times when we look back, it's because we're in fear of man. What will man do to me? Right? And a lot of times when we look at it and we'll be honest with ourselves, we say, you know what? I was actually being very self-centered. Not God-centered, but self. And that's why we did what we did. In actuality, we didn't have the fear of God. You know, and I taught about the fear of God before, but the fear of God is actually saying, God, you're bigger than this. I reverence you. I honor you. I worship you. I trust you. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1, here it is. Moses had gone up into the mountain, and he was a bit delayed in coming down from the mountain. So the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So here it is, the people came to Aaron. You know, these are the people who experienced, man, the miracle of the Red Sea parting, I mean, going through that, the manna that came from above, all of these things, which shows, you know, even though they experienced that and they saw all of that, they didn't really know God. They were just going through, you know, they were just experiencing the benefits of all the miracle and the manna and all that, but they didn't know God. Because so easily when God wasn't keeping up to their timing, when there was a delay in Moses, the man of God coming down from the mountain, they were so easy to turn to other gods, to make an other god, and to make this golden calf, so to speak. I know sometimes you see that in some Christians' lives, where God's delayed in coming. And, you know, in this case, they were looking to Moses as the mediator between them and God. In this case, the children of Israel and Moses, he had gone up to the mountain. He was the leader. But so many times in a Christian life, and you see this, and this is not to be condemning, but when you find that you're so easily swayed to look to other things rather than God, you really have to ask yourself, you know, do I really know God? Do I truly know Him? And in this case, they didn't. Because, you know, we see the story of return, they complain and they grumble the whole time through in the 40 years in the wilderness. But let's see why it is Aaron, who is supposed to know better. He was a priest ordained by God. Why did he succumb to this pressure? He could have stood his ground and said, no, this is not the way. Right? This is the way. We don't serve graven images. We don't worship golden calves. Right? But here it is. He succumbed to the pressures of the people. And let's see what his reason was. If you go to Exodus chapter 32 and verse 22, Exodus 32 and verse 22, it says, so Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, Make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, Whoever has gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Right? Yeah. Just like that, the calf came out, you know? But here it is, you see, he succumbed to the pressures of the people. Right? Because these people got angry at me. In other words, they pressured me, you know. You know, I was scared for my life, lest they kill me. That tells me something about Aaron. You know, I don't know what if he was unsure himself at that point. Because he gave in to the pressures of the people, build his calf, you know. And here it is, you know, boom, a golden calf came out like a magic, you know. They build this golden calf and they worship it. But you see here, he wasn't taking responsibility for himself. He could have stood his ground. He could have said, you know what? This is wrong. I don't care if I die. We will not build a golden calf. Wait. Don't be so impatient. Right? He was left in charge. He was a priest. But he gave in to the pressures of the people. Now, when you fear man, you will not be obedient to the voice of the Lord. And that's an important point. Because you'll do what they say, so they would, the pressure would be relieved. Now, how many times we can relate to that? You know, we may have be on a job or a certain situation, and we know it's wrong, but because we don't want the anger of people, maybe it's our boss or whoever that's coming against us, we make compromises. We do things that are totally against the word of God, even though we know better. Because of the fear of man. Because maybe we're fearful that we may lose our job. Or we may lose our position that we're vying for. So we give in to things. Instead of trusting in God. Instead of putting our eyes on God and saying, God, I know you're with me. Doesn't matter what people are saying. Doesn't matter what if they're bad talking to me or saying evil things against me. Or maybe they're threatening my life if I don't give in and do it their way. No, those things happen. People get lives get threatened if they don't do things somebody is wanting them to do. Right? That's why we have to know in our heart who God is. Know our God. Fear Him. Trust Him. So we see Aaron gave in. But, you know, like I said, when you're fearful of man, when you fear man, you won't be obedient to the voice of the Lord. You instead be a people pleaser. Have you heard that terminology? People pleaser. You're just a people pleaser, right? You're just doing everything people want. And we said a good example of that is in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 3. Talking about King Saul here. God gave him specific instructions. Verse 3. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all they have. And do not spare them. But kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. So what did God say? Don't spare anything. Don't spare anything. Go to verse 15. Right? Samuel comes and he's hearing the bleating of the sheep. Right? And here's the reasonings here. And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. You see, it doesn't matter how we justify our disobedience, right? God gave a specific instruction, we found in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 15. He said, look, see, I know what you said, you know, but hey, why waste this good oxen? We can use it as a sacrifice. And verse 24, let's go into verse 24. So here it is, Samuel is rebuking him for his disobedience, you know. And then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I fear the people and obey their voice. So he said he feared the people. He was saying, hey, look, it's the people, you know, they wanted me to do this. They were saying, hey, why are we wasting all of this for? So I feared them. And I obeyed their voice. But if you take a close look at the life of Saul, when he was chosen, it says here, Samuel said in verse 17, When you were little in your own eyes, Were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? So we see here that when Saul was chosen, he thought of himself as low, as small. He was actually hiding. Okay? And God chose him. God promoted him. And I believe that Saul was in such a position where he was like, man, I'm king. These people love me. Right? I better stay on their good side. Do what they want. I'm saying that he had an insecurity issue. And so many times when people have insecurity issues, they're people pleasers. And they want to do everything possible for people to love them. Right? That's fear of man. You want to do everything possible for them to love you. Right? And instead of Saul remembering, hey, wait a minute. It wasn't people that promoted me. It was God that promoted me. If you'd only remember that. It wasn't people that put him in that position. It was God that brought him the promotion. And so many times we need to remember that. If we are God's people, we don't have to be people pleasers. We just have to be love God and know that he's on our side. That promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, but it comes from God. And God's going to work on our behalf. All we got to do is love on him. Right? Don't worry about what people are saying. Just worry about what the world is saying. And act on it and live according to it. And just love on God. You know, the word says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he will exalt you. You know what humbling yourself means? Just come into agreement with what God is saying about you. Don't worry about what people are saying about you or what, you know, what their advice is. Just be concerned about what God is saying and what his word is saying. Come in agreement with God's word. Live according to God's word. And in due time, he'll exalt you. He'll promote you. So you don't have to worry that, you know, about people. Just worry about that God loves you. That he's already pleased you. You know when you know that God's already pleased with you? You don't have an issue with being a people pleaser. But a lot of times when you have insecurities, right, and you only want to be valued by men, you'll do things that are contrary to the word of God. But when you know that you're already valued, that you're loved by Lord, it doesn't matter who says what. You'll stand your ground and do what God is saying. You'll heed his voice. You will be obedient to what God is saying to you. And that's something to always keep in mind. So we always have to just know that God values us. He's pleased with us. And I remember growing up, you know, you want to be in the in crowd, right? In the popular group. And so many kids these days, they have that issue. You know, they want to be loved. They want to be accepted. So they get into the wrong groups. So they can be accepted. People please, or they do wrong things. And you ask them, well, why do you do so and so? Because, you know, I want them to like me. You hear that over and over. And a lot of times we counsel these young people, they'll tell you why they did what they did. They just wanted friends. They felt like nobody valued them. Right? They didn't know that they were accepted, that they were loved. And a lot of times as God's people, we forget that. That we are loved and accepted. That he's pleased with us. Right? We don't have to lower our standards in fear of man or what they might say or do to us. To be in the popular group or with the popular opinion. Right? We have just to know that God loves us and he accepts us. You know, in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 is a popular scripture we refer to many times. But here it is. God gave Abraham specific instructions. And he could have been a people pleaser too. You know, God told him to get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your land. And I believe in that land he was already settled. Had the comforts. He was with all his family. He was prospering. And said, God said, get out of your land. And go to a place that I will show you. Right? Now, he could have been a people pleaser. And say, no, listen to his family. I'm sure his family members were saying, Abraham, what's wrong with you? Things are good here. You know, all your family is here. Why do you want to go off and leave us for? You know, so many stories you've heard of people saying that. God's given them a specific instruction. He told them to go there. Go to his country or say go to Bible school, whatever have you. But because they're scared of their family, because they're scared that their family may get angry with them or disown them, right? They succumb to the pressures and don't do what God is saying. But Abram wasn't scared. He went out, not knowing where he was going. And that could be another fear of the unknown. How many people face that fear? God's given them a word, and there's the fear of the unknown. What's going to happen to us? Right? But Abram trusted God. But so many times, you've heard stories of people. God gives them a specific instruction in their life. But they're so terrified of their family. I'm going to use family because a lot of times this happens over and over. They're so terrified what their family may say about them. And they succumb to the pressures and they don't do what God's called them to do because they're terrified. They don't want to lose that relationship. Now, I'm not saying, that you get angry with your family, but I believe that, man, we ought to be pleasing God. I mean, more concerned about God more than our family. Yes, you love them, and you say, you don't have to be mean to them. Say, God's told me to do such and such. I love you, but I have to be obedient to His voice. And don't be scared of it. And I've seen many times, too, people who took that stand and said, I know you're hurting. I know I'm taking the grandkids and moving to a different country or whatever have you. But it'll be all right. And I see those same family members come around, and they're in support of these very same children. I don't know if you've ever heard of Rick Renner, but he has a big church in Russia, Moscow. And he said his parents were angry. They wouldn't even talk to him because he was moving to Russia. What is wrong with you? You're taking the grandchildren. So you hear many stories like that. Even in America, people moving from one state to the next. You mean you're leaving your home? We all live on the same block and you're moving to a different state and we'll not see you? Things like that. But Abraham, he was more concerned about God. He loved God. He loved God and he wasn't scared. He wasn't a people pleaser. He wasn't scared that his family would reject him. And then there's so many people in different countries where they've come to Christ and they have to make that stand. Where, am I going to follow Christ or am I going to go back into Hinduism or Islam? A lot of times they're persecuted, rejected by their family, disowned, and said, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But I believe, God's good, And I think, when you see those individuals' lives, they're a blessing. People come into Christ because of their obedience to the voice of God. Look at Abraham. If he didn't obey God, he wouldn't be the father of many nations, right? If he had decided, I like it too well here. If he had taken that first step and going out into the unknown, that promised child wouldn't have come. He had to take that first step, right? I think it's just awesome when you look at the life of Abraham. He could have stayed in his country and not stepped out in obedience into the unknown, but he did. And I'm thankful for that. What a great testimony. We can trust God. We can trust God. And look, as God's people, as New Testament believers, we have a greater confidence. God is going with us. He's on the inside of us. I think that's awesome. His power and ability is in us. So when he tells and he gives us a word to do something, it's not like, we're waiting and we're hoping. No, he's already there. His power and ability is already in us. We just got to tap in and step out and just trust him. And I think that's awesome news. When you think about it, that grace, that unmerited favor, that ability, that power is mine. It's already on the inside of me. And I don't have to fear of the unknown. Now, the thoughts may come. I promise you it will come. What's going to happen to me? When we went to Russia for the first time, I was scared. I was terrified. What's going to happen? Right? I'm going in a foreign country. A lot of Russians are fair-skinned in color. I'm dark-skinned. What will you think about me? But you know what? I just purposed in my heart, God, you love me. And you've called me. And if you've called me, God, you're going to take care of me. I could have allowed that to hinder me from doing what God's called me to do. You know, when you fear man, you'll also be scared of the so-called giants of the land. How many times are we scared of the giants? You know, we have a fear of the giants, just like in Numbers chapter 13, you know, in verse 1. I think this is awesome. Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So we see that God said something important here. I'm giving you this land. Wow, what a word to run with. I'm giving you this land. 12 spies went out. And 10 came back with a negative report. And 2 came back saying, hey, we're well able to over, you know, to take the land. But here were the 10 that came back with a negative report said. So in Numbers 13:33 it says, "Then we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So we see that they were fearful of these giants, even though God said he had given them the land. And how many times are we the same way? God said he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. His people. Okay. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Okay. But a lot of times we'll be facing giants like sickness, financial problems. Right? And we'll be saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. I will not be able to conquer this giant. Right? The giants are bigger than me. But what did Jesus said? I've already given it to you. By his stripes, you were healed. Right? My God supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. His riches, not our riches. His riches. Think about how big his riches are. Can comprehend. And that's what he's saying. He's already said it to us. He didn't say maybe or if you're good enough. He said, I've given it to you already, my children. But a lot of times we're so focused on the giants in our life. And we saw the giants are more real to us than what God's word is saying to us. And we causes us to hinder us from possessing the land. From possessing that healing that God said is already ours. From possessing that blessing that he said he's already blessed us with. Think about that. He said he's already given it to us. And this is what the children of Israel are doing. But Joshua and Caleb, they knew God. And they said, no. We're well able to overcome. And if you go to Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 through 9, it says, "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are all bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.'" So we see they're encouraging the people. Don't fear these people. Don't fear these so-called giants. God is with us. And that is what God is saying to us. That he is with us. We don't have nothing to fear. Right? And look at the congregation's response in verse 10. "And all the congregation said to stone them with stones." Wow. This response wasn't said, "Amen, yes." No, it was, "Pick up the biggest stone, let's stone them." Because they didn't believe it. Didn't believe the voice of God when God said, "I'm with you. I've given you this land. I will protect you." And if you go down to verse 11, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me?'" Wow. You know, when we say our giants are bigger than what God's word is saying to us, that shows we're not believing him. That we don't trust him. We fear man. When we fear man, we show that we don't believe what his word says about us. I think that's so exciting to see. And I think it's just so awesome because here it is, they were saying their giants are going to kill them, their giants are going to overcome them. And when you go to Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and this is when the spies were sent out into, let's go there, Joshua chapter 2. And it's the story of Rahab. And what are they saying? What are the so-called giants saying about the children of Israel? Right? Chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, I know the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, which you utterly destroyed. And verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did them remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Wow. The so-called giants had more of a revelation of the greatness of God than the children of Israel. They were the ones that were terrified. But you see, a lot of times, when we're so focused on the so-called giants, we miss what God's wanting to do. We miss the blessing. I know what, a lot of times, you know, the enemy is scared. He doesn't want us to go in and possess the land. He wants us to believe the lie that this so-called giant that you're facing right now, it will defeat you. You might as well lay down and die. You'll never overcome this so-called giant. Right? He doesn't want us to believe the word of God. He doesn't want us to trust God's word, what He says about us. Right? That's why He brings this deception of fear. And we embrace it. And we run with it. That's why as God's people, we need to know the word of God. We need to have a revelation of God's word, what His word is saying about us. Remind ourselves daily, no, devil, you're a liar. I am the head and not the tail. I am God's child, and He's on my side. But He wants us to walk in fear. I can't tell you how many fears I had in my life. Fear of this, fear of that, you know. Fear of talking in front of people. I was terrified. I can tell you, you know, if they had a camera focused on my knees the first time I spoke, it would have been very funny. The way my knees looked. You know, I was shaking. You know, I was so scared of what people would think about me because of my own issues. I embraced the lie of the enemy instead of embracing what God said about me. But praise God, you know, I got into His word and saw what He said about me. And I believed the truth instead of the lie. So many people I know that God has placed a call on their life, but they're embracing a lie instead of the truth. But you know, whatever giant that you're facing, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, this is a verse I hold on to. And I remember, this is one of the verses that God gave me when we were first going on the mission field. It says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you, and He will not leave you nor forsake you. Right? And it says in verse 8, and the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. That is awesome. You know, when God gives you a command, or He tells you to do something, He's going before you. You know, He's with you along every step of the way. So whatever giant it is, whatever it is facing you, He's saying, I've gone before you. You have nothing to fear. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 5, here it is, Joshua was taking over from Moses. You know, you may be in a place where you're coming into a new position and you're scared. You know, and Joshua was in the same position, right? And God had to talk to Joshua and tell him, don't be afraid, right? Don't be dismayed, I'm with you. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 5. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Hey, do you see it? God saying similar things all through the word? I will not leave you nor forsake you. And in verse 9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That is so cool. Because that's one of the things God spoke to me when we were first going to Russia. I was like, "God, well, what about this? What about that?" And God was saying, "I'm the same God wherever you go. Yes, fear not. I'll equip you with everything you need." Now, has it been tough at times? Sure it has been. But I always go back to what God's word has said about me. Because His word is true. His word is sure. I know every time I focus on that, His word, what He says about me, fear leaves. That spirit of intimidation leaves. I say, "Nope, I will not fear. God is true to His word. And He's faithful to His word." A lot of times when we don't trust Him, and we don't believe Him, we're in fact saying, "God, we're not sure if You're going to come through this time. We're not sure if You're faithful. Yeah, we may have experienced You some in the past, but this time I'm not so sure." We have to get to the point as God's people that no matter what we're facing, no matter what Jan comes in our life, we stand our ground consistently. And that only comes from being in His word every day. Abiding in Him every day. Having a vibrant relationship with Him. You know, we can't just have a relationship with Him when things are tough and we run to Him and go, "God, let me see what Proverbs says or Psalm says," you know. No, we have to be with Him, walk with Him every day. That's how that trust is developed. That's how we get a revelation of who God is. In our life, we know that He is faithful. We get into His word. We renew our mind according to His word. What His word says about us. But if we don't stay there, it's so easy for the things of this world, for the fears of this world to creep in. And we embrace it. And that becomes a greater reality to us than what God's word is saying. That's why we have to stay in His word. Know His word. Say, "Nope. That's what Your word says about me." I remember when we were getting married, finances were tough. Gosh, we didn't have really anything. You know, and then Sean calls me up to say, "You know what, I just lost my job." I'm like, "Oh my God, where are we going to get money from?" You know, that thought crosses your mind. And the wedding is about a month or two away, okay? So anyway, I remember this dread came over my heart. What are we going to do? And God spoke to me. He said, "I am not slack concerning my promises." And what was His promises to me? That He was going to take care of everything concerning our wedding. And that's a long testimony, but God was faithful. Everything was paid for. Everything came together 1 week before our wedding. I mean, every day before our wedding, God came through and He was faithful. And we had many challenges to stop believing God. Even from people telling us, "Oh, maybe this is not God. Maybe you should, you know, you should do things a different way." But we said, "No, God said He's faithful. He's not slack concerning His promises. He's given us His word." You know, and God came through. Not in the way traditionally people anticipate, where they have their weddings planned months in advance. That's not the way it worked with us, you know. But we had to trust God and what God had told us to do. And I'm happy we did. It was a great testimony. But you see, in the case of David, he wasn't scared of his giant. When he came before Goliath, you know, the whole armies, they were hiding in fear of Goliath. But David had seen the goodness of his God. Even as a shepherd boy, when the lions came to attack his sheep, he saw God was with him, right? And when he came before Goliath, he said, "You know what, I don't come to you with a sword or a shield or whatever, all these things. I come to you in the name of the Lord." And he defeated his giant. And that's the way we face our giants. Say, "You know what, I don't have anything fancy. I just have the name of the Lord. And He is with me. And He says He will never leave me or forsake me." Wow. And that giant is conquered when we have that attitude. We have nothing to fear. You know, when we face our giants with that attitude. You know, the fear of man can also hinder you from preaching the gospel? How many times are we scared to go out and share the good news of the gospel because we're scared of people rejecting us or what they might say to us? Say, oh, you're one of those church people, you know, right? We're scared. Or maybe God's calling us to go into an area where there's lots of crime. But we say, oh my God, you know, what if they kill me? Right? But if we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, how many times was he stoned, going forth and preaching the gospel? Right? He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was left for dead. Aren't you happy Apostle Paul didn't stop and say, oh gosh, this is too much. I don't think I could preach this gospel. I can't handle one more stone. You know, I can't handle one more jail cell. But he didn't let that, the fear of man, hinder him from preaching the gospel. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, and this is a scripture we're all familiar with. You know, here God is speaking to Jeremiah, telling him about, saying, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. How many times do we make excuses for why we cannot go out and preach the gospel? In this case, Jeremiah was saying, you know what? God, I'm too young. You know, I don't speak well. Or maybe in your case, God, I'm too old. You know, you know, what am I going to do out there? Right? God, I don't know enough. God, I haven't been to Bible school. No, all it takes is you going out there and sharing your testimony of what God has done in your life. Show the reality of Jesus Christ in your life. Right? And how does God respond to Jeremiah? Verse 7, for the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So he said, I mean, this is the goodness of God. God said, don't worry. I'll tell you what to speak. I'll give you the words. And in verse 8 it says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And that's the verse God's been speaking to me. Do not be afraid. So many times we are tempted to be scared of the faces of people. What if they reject me? What if I'm killed? Right? But God is saying, I've commanded you to go and preach my word. And I'm with you. I'll put my words in your mouth. But how many times are we hindering what God's wanting to do from our life hearing of the good news of Jesus because we're so scared for our life? What's the worst that could happen? No, really? So they kill us. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to heaven. That's the way I see things. But the good news is I die preaching the good news of Jesus Christ and what he has done. I die telling someone, God, Jesus loves them. He came and he died for them. And seeing someone receive that and their life change, I think it's worth it. Who cares about it if you die? Rather than sitting in the comforts of your home all so protected and not going out and telling people about what you have. That gift, that we say we have this good news, but yet we keep it to ourselves. I think, you know, it's awesome. You know, you go out there and you preach to what? Who cares what man do to you? You don't have to be afraid of their faces. You know, in Acts, Peter and John face such a thing where they have to make a decision, you know. Here it is, you know, it starts in Acts chapter 3 where the lame man was healed. And I think a little revival broke out because of that lame man being healed. And many were coming to Jesus because of this miracle. And the people, the rulers recognized this was a true miracle. And people were coming to Jesus. And if you read in chapter 4 of Acts, they forbid Peter and John to speak the name of Jesus because many were coming, converting, believing on the name of Jesus. What did Peter and John do? Did they compromise? Did they shut up so they wouldn't get into trouble? No. They prayed for boldness. Praise the Lord. And they kept right on preaching. Right? And what did they say in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29? We ought to obey God rather than men. That's what they didn't care. So we won't, in other words, we won't fear you. We're going to obey God. We're going to do what God has sent us to do. We don't care. I know later on you see them thrown into jail, you know, and they're praying and singing. They're having a good old time. Jails open up and they keep on going preaching the gospel. You know why? They had a revelation of the love of God. They knew God. They knew God. They weren't scared of what man would do to them. Aren't you happy? Look how many people came to Jesus because they were faithful to preaching the gospel. What if they had gotten scared and say, you know what? You know, we don't want to get in trouble with these rulers here, you know. We want to keep it quiet. We don't want to stir up the nest, you know. What would have happened? You know, people would have been deprived of hearing the good news and coming to Jesus Christ. And this is not a condemning message, but it should encourage us to say, you know, what am I doing? You know, what am I fearful of? God is with me. No, there's no one bigger than God. Really, think about it. He created the heavens and the earth. You know, he's on my side. And he's in me too. Amen. We don't have anything to fear. We just go with that boldness. Say, Lord, thank you, Lord. I have your boldness. You're with me. You've called me. I'm going to take this good news to wherever I am. And I'll be scared of people's rejection or what people say about me. Right? Yes, people will come against you. Definitely. I assure you. I promise you they will. They will come. But we have to believe. Do we really believe what we have is good news? Because if we really believe what we have is good news, that is the truth. If we really believe that we have such a love from the Heavenly Father, it's so good and so awesome. Man, why would we want to keep it all to ourselves? We want to share it. And we won't be scared of man. We won't be fearful of man. You know, a fear of man can cause you to reject Christ. You know, you have testimonies of that. People say, you know what? I don't want them to kill me, so I'll reject Christ. You know, Peter encountered that, right? When they took Jesus away to Calvary. You know, it says that in Matthew chapter 26. And we see that story there where he denied Jesus three times. He was more concerned about himself more than, you know, standing with Jesus, right? You know, it says in John chapter 12 and verse 42. Let's go there. John 12. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So here it is. Many people heard what Jesus was saying, and say, you know what, that I believe that, you know. But you know what? I don't want to be put out of the synagogue, you know. I don't want to be the one, the outsider, so to speak. So I will not confess Jesus. And so many times we see that happen to people, especially, you know, people who are converting from Hinduism or Islam, you know. I know many people, you know, that because the Hindu family background, they say, you know what, I want to stick to my own people because, you know, they will reject me. They will disown me. He says, no, I believe what you're saying. I believe Jesus is the only way, but, you know, I can't commit to him. You know, some people, they would agree with you. What you're saying is good news, but they will not commit with their whole heart and confess him as their Lord because they're scared of being the outsider in their family. They're scared of what their family would say. Oh, you've left your religion. Right? And they will reject Jesus on account of that. You know, the time is coming, as believers, our faith will be tested. Right? You know, we see it already happening in different parts of the world. You know what? We're not special. Our time is going to come too. Where will it will be truly put to the test. Do we truly believe in the Word of God? Do we truly believe on Jesus? No, the opportunity will be given too. Would we reject him and run for the hills and say, you know what, forget this Jesus, you know, I accept everything, you know, in order to save your life, and I'll reject him in order so I wouldn't die? And we have to settle in our hearts now. Do we truly believe? Do you truly believe in, you know, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about that. Verses 4 through 13, he talks about in the end times, there'll be earthquakes, there'll be rumors of wars, you know, false prophets are rising up, right? And let's go to verse 13. Matthew 24. Let's go to verse 12, actually. It says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." You know what tells me? There are a lot of people who will not be enduring. They'll just say, you know what, forget this. You know, forget this believing on Jesus Christ. You know, especially if the governments put a pressure on you. You know, do it our way and you have to reject God's way. You'll have a time will come where you have to stand your ground. No. I'm going to stand for what the Word says. I'm going to choose God's Word over my life. I don't care. We have to settle in our hearts now. We can't wait for when it's facing us and staring us in the face. We got to make that decision right now in our hearts. Settle in our heart. God, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to choose life. No matter if they threaten my family, whatever they say, I'm going to choose you. I will not reject you. No, Jesus had to deal with rejection, you know, from man. People were rejecting him, but he stood up to it, right? You know, so many times the apostles, they had opportunity to say, you know what, forget this. But you know what, praise God, I'm happy. They said, no, we believe in Jesus. Love them will be headed, right? Crucified upside down. But they keep right on preaching the Word of God. And you know what, their life was a testimony for us. Showing us, you know what, hey, this body is just temporary. Now, a lot of times we live this life as if this is all there is. Really? Come on now. The Word promises us when we die, we have a glorified body. I don't know about you, but I prefer that over what I have right now. You know? And we go to be with Him. Who cares? We have a promise. We have a hope to those of us who believe in Jesus. So the enemy doesn't want you to walk in all that God has for you. You know, fear is one of his greatest weapons he uses. You know, we embrace fear when we don't have a true revelation of the love and goodness of our Lord and Savior. That's why Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 talks about putting on passage of scripture, it talks about putting on the full armor of God. Putting on the belt of truth. You know what that is? That is, keep yourself in the Word of God. Know His truth, what His Word says about you. And when you know what the Word says about you, you will not embrace the lie. That fear. That sneer of the enemy. Right? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, let's go there real quick. 6:11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That wiles there is the trickery. The sneers of the devil. The devil wants to trip you up all the time. He wants to entangle you. He wants you to believe the lies. He wants you to embrace the deceptions that he's bringing against you. And the key to overcoming that is to be in the Word. Know who you are in Christ. That's what we have to remind ourselves over and over. Every day, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am accepted in the Beloved. Therefore, I don't have to be a people pleaser. Amen. God loves me. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Nothing. No matter what comes my way, people persecuting me, people rejecting me, praise the Lord. Romans 8:35-38, it says, what shall separate me from the love of God? Tribulations, persecutions, right? It says, yet in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. He's calling you more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. But you have to have a revelation of how much he loves you. That he's with you. He's always with you. That's why in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, he said, he's not giving us a spirit of fear. Every time you see that, sense that spirit of fear, he said he has not given you that spirit. But of power and of love and a sound mind. So he's giving you love. He's giving you that power. That ability is only inside of you to be an overcomer, to be more than a conqueror. That's what he's given you. But you got to believe it. You have to believe that He loves you so much that nothing will separate you from His love. And when you know that nothing will separate you from His love, you will not walk in fear of man. That's why we have to know Him. Know how much He loves us. You know, when you know how much God loves you, you can trust Him with your whole heart. But you know, when you don't know His love, I mean, you could sing about His love, but when you truly don't know how much He loves you, you can't trust Him. You'll always doubt. Will He come through this time? Right? Is He really on my side? Will He heal me? Am I really blessed? But when you know that He loves you, and He's true to His word, right? You know, that fear that's coming against you, that's a lie from the devil. I smell you. You're not from my God. Devil, you're a liar. Lord, I thank You have not given me the spirit of fear. Amen. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And when we know that, when we have a revelation of God's love for us, we can say, like it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. It says here, in verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. We can say it with confidence when we have a revelation of God's love. When we have a revelation of God's love, we know, you know, our children are protected. We don't have to be scared. That's when God spoke to us to put our children into the Russian school. Well, we were scared. I was scared. Didn't know Russian. But we took that step of obedience, and the girls can tell you it was not without its challenges. The kids were mean. You know, our kids were a bit darker skin color than some of the kids, and they were making fun of them. Not only that, they were from a different country. Oh, we don't like you. You're from a different country. And they did all those things. But they knew God was with them. That's what the word I encourage them. Jesus is on our side. He loves you. You don't have to worry. You know, forgive them. You know what? And within that first year of being in Russia, they spoke Russian fluently. And they were able to be ministers alongside of other students, Bible school students, interpreting. What if we've given into that fear? Oh, gosh, what's going to happen to our kids, our poor kids? And listen to the word of God when He told us to put them into the Russian schools. See, what God reminded me of was that He loves our kids more than we do. Think about that. He loves your child more than you do. And that peace flooded my soul when God revealed that to me. He said, I love them more than you do. Thank you, Jesus. I know they're going to be all right. Yes, they're going to have their ups and downs. They're going to come face challenges, but God, I know it's going to be all right. You know what? They're alive. They're healthy. They're great. You know, they're not scarred for life. And I'm going to leave you with this one last scripture in Psalm 118. Psalm 118 verse 8 and 9 says, better trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So here it is, you know, we need a bit of confidence in God rather than man and princes. Okay, then this world system, so to speak. A lot of times we have our confidence so set on the government that they're going to save you. As God's people, that's not where our confidence should be. Our confidence needs to be in Jesus Christ. Not in this world system and what the world can do for us, but our confidence needs to be in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can truly say at the end of the day, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do to me. I won't fear what the government is saying. I won't fear when the people's in the economy, you know, things are happening. There's we have to be scared about our finances. We don't have to worry about that. Because we don't live according to this world's economy. We live according to God's economy. And we're just going to trust in God and be at rest in who He is and what He says about us. Amen?